Sorry, it's been a while since I've been here. I forgot what I was doing there. Amen. Well, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's great to be back with you guys. Praise God. We're in our fourth Sunday of Lent, the 26th day of Lent, and I hope you all are having a blessed season as we prepare our hearts for Easter. Amen. And we will continue today in the book of Acts, but let us pray. Amen. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for all gathered here this morning. And we just ask that you open our hearts and minds, as always, Lord, to receive your word this morning, to receive the blessing of your word and the guidance for our hearts and our minds and our souls. And just ask that you bless us all here today and those who can't be here today, Father. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Amen. So my sermon title today is Prison to Preacher. Amen. From prisoner to preacher. And I'll explain that a little more as we go, okay? But that title is for each and every one of us. Amen. We are in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 26. And there was a story Dr. Vernon McGee told about a little community where there were three churches on the same corner. It was a Presbyterian church, a Methodist church, and a Baptist church. And one Sunday night, all the windows were open and they could each hear each other singing. They didn't get along very well. The people in the Presbyterian church were singing the song, "Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown?" And when they were finished, the Methodist church sang, "No, not one." And then when they were done, the Baptist sang, "Oh, that will be glory for me." Dr. McGee said that all three of those churches ought to sit down together and sing the doxology of praise to God. Amen? That's what the world needs to see. They need to see us together. Jesus said when we come together, that's when the world knows that God is sent. We are as one. And I feel like today, unlike the time of the apostles, the church has really started to work more independently of each other. And when I say the church, I mean the evangelical, Bible-teaching, Jesus-loving church. Amen? And so we should not allow small theological differences that have no bearing on our salvation to separate us. To take us off the focus, and that focus should be preaching and teaching about the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's what truth matters in our hearts. Amen. And yes, I said us because Jesus commissioned us in Matthew 28. Amen. Not just the apostles, but all believers. All believers. And when the communion of the saints, that's each of us, works together for the greater good, we avail much. Amen. And get much done. Dr. Christina Cleveland wrote about divisions within the church. She said, "I wonder how much Christ's heart is broken when we denigrate followers of Christ who differ from us. Further, how much are we losing because of our differences? How much are the people for whom Christ died suffering because we remain paralyzed and divided by our differences when we should be working together as the hands and feet of Jesus in the world? We must strive to see it be unified in worship and the preaching and the teaching of God's word, each and every one of us." Now, in our last sermon on Acts a couple weeks ago, given by Pastor Robin, thank you, Pastor, for delivering a great message on a difficult text. Amen. We saw a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, who did something very deceptive and showed a weakness in the church. The reason they had been deceptive was to make themselves look good spiritually. They wanted to look like they had given it all, right? While maintaining a worldly vision of giving. You see, they were lying to God. They were lying to God. And my favorite line is when Peter says, "Didn't it all belong to you before it was sold? You could have done whatever you wanted to do with it, you're the ones that decided you wanted to give it all to the church. And you lied to God. And then God strikes them dead, right? Or did he? Maybe it was just the sheer shock of shame of being found out. It killed them both on the spot. Either way, they would both drop dead. And so God, it appeared, was already upset with the early church at this point. Well, whether God was upset or not, we're going to see here in our first verse that God was still very much at work, right? In and through the church. Verse 12 says, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade." That's the same colonnade where Peter and John healed a lame man and preached to a large crowd. Amen? This is the temple here, okay? This is Solomon's colonnade on the east side of the temple here. This is the colonnade all the way around. They call this Solomon's colonnade. And this is where they used to meet. Amen? This was the courtyard of the Gentiles. They weren't allowed in the temple. Amen? But they would let them gather here. And like I said, that's where they would heal a man. And that's where Peter and John would preach it. The first time he got in trouble. Amen? And one of the greatest signs or wonders was that through all the persecution and occasional dysfunction, they remained together. The church remained together, and they were gathering together in this colony. Now, whenever something dramatic happens in the church, like the betrayal, deception, and death of Ananias and Sapphira, this unity often would follow. This unity often follows in any church, amen, when something dramatic happens. Could you imagine if at this point, though, in the establishment of the church, that the apostles decided to part ways, right? If they had decided to part ways because they had differences in the church rather than work it out, how would that look, right? How would that look to newcomers? How would that look to the Jewish establishment that was persecuting them? It would be a sign of weakness. It would look like a sign of weakness and disunity. Not many people want to join weakness and disunity. Amen? Matthew Henry said, "We have here an account of the progress of the gospel, notwithstanding this terrible judgment inflicted upon two hypocrites." Problems that arise within the church should bring us closer together, not farther apart from each other. Amen? It should bring us closer together, but with God, and in doing so, we should be able to resolve our issues, right? We should be able to resolve our issues and grow stronger because of it. And that's exactly what the early church was doing. And they weren't perfect, okay? The early church was not perfect. There's only one perfect, amen? Jesus Christ. But there was something beautiful about the power and the unity that they had in this early church. There was something beautiful about it. And God would bless them, and he'd use them to do many signs and wonders. And in verse 13 it says, "No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number." Okay? It says, none of them dared join them. But then, more of them were added to their number, right? So which is it? None or more, right? It's kind of contradicts each other. What it really means is that those who did join the church after this were going to be all in. Amen? They were going to be all in, and the church had integrity, and all the members, well, almost all of them, were respectful of God's word, and they were going to be pure in their faith. So everyone knew if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you had to be all in. If you're going to follow Jesus, you had to be all in. The incident that happened in Ananias and Sapphira was meant to put fear in those who were going to be lukewarm in their faith. Right? Look what happens when you're lukewarm in your faith. So everyone knew that you had to be all in. If you were going to be a disciple, you were going to have to be all in. So many true believers were added to the church. The church was growing. They stopped counting, amen? Remember they kept saying how many thousands, right? And well, they stopped counting, all right? Many. Now it's just many. Many were added to the church. And God performed many wonders and signs through all of them. And so they were being the salt and the light in the world. And it attracted many people who were truly seeking Jesus. Now we here at Amazing Grace know that many people are attracted to our church because they feel the love and the Holy Spirit from the first time they walked in those doors. Amen? Many are attracted to that. But at the same time, we have to preach the truth. We have to preach the truth, and that's not always an attraction to all people, although it should be. The problem today is a lot of churches think that if we want to attract more people to the church, we'll just lower the bar. Amen? Just lower the bar so that people feel comfortable. And yes, I'm going to name a couple names, so get ready for the truth. Amen? Because it's my job to try and protect all of us. Amen?
No
to protect
problem.
Us all, no fluff, Pastor. Spiritually, as we live in this world of lies and deception. Amen? A couple of churches that have seriously lowered the bar are, one is a UCC church, United Church of Christ. They support LGBTQ rights, and they are loving these people to hell, not to Christ. Amen? Number two, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, yep, Lutheran Church. They do the same thing. In fact, they ordain homosexual pastors, and they're actually the first denomination or the first church to ordain a transgender person in 2021. Then you have some church denominations that are split down the middle, and they give individual church bodies the power to make their own rules about these issues. But you see, there's only one rule we should follow, and that's the truth of Scripture. Amen? God's Word never changes. God's Word never changes. Romans 1:32 says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. We're called to love the sinner, not the sin. Amen? We love all people to Christ, right? What do we say, Pastor? Come as you are, but don't leave as you came, right? Amen? Right? 1 Corinthians. I should have this one memorized. 6, 9 through 11. It says, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? Amen. Them verses have a lot to do with my transformation, if you will. Amen? One of my textbooks that was required by one of my pastors in seminary named Pastor Rick was called The Bible and Homosexual Practice. And it said, if we were to believe Scripture, the failure of the church to help the homosexual make the transition out of homosexual practice and into sexual wholeness will make the church an accomplice to the very form of behavior that God finds detestable. The church will also become an enabler of the practicing homosexual's loss of spiritual transformation and possibly salvation. And possibly salvation. Our job as a church is to help save souls, not tickle ears. The only rainbows in heaven are going to be the ones representing God's covenant promise. We love all people to Christ, not to hell. Some churches act like if we're going to make it easier to become a Christian, then we can bring more people to Christ. But you can't compromise the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot compromise the gospel. Salvation comes through repentance, not acceptance. Salvation comes through repentance, not acceptance. Dr. Tony Evans was on the radio on KFLR the other day, and they were interviewing him. He said, and I hadn't heard this one before, I love this. He said, the church is meant to be a hospital for sinners. We've heard of that, right? Mm-hmm. Not a hospice for sinners. It's not meant to keep you comfortable until you die, but to heal you spiritually so that you may live.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen? If you want to be a true follower of Christ, then you have to give it all to Him who is worthy. And that's each and every one of us. Amen? We're all sinners, saved by grace. You have to surrender everything and lay it all at the cross so that the Lord can transform you and sanctify you. It is God and His Word that determines what is acceptable in His sight and nothing else. God's Word never changes. And that's what Ananias and Sapphira did. What they did was a sin against God, just as any other sin, and it was unacceptable to God. Amen? And their punishment would set the bar even higher to become a Christian. And yet more and more people would respond. You see, the truth not only attracts people, but it attracts those who are serious about their salvation. It's a huge mistake for any church to compromise in order to bring more people and more money to the church. We call that nickels and noses. Jesus has to be the Lord of every part of our lives. And when I finally realized that, the day I gave up drinking, that's when the Lord would truly start to transform me into the man I am today. Because that's the day I truly give everything for my faith. Revelations. Revelations 3:14-16, when the Lord was speaking to the church in Laodicea, He said, these are the words of the Amen, the words of God, Amen? The faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. It's what is detestable to the Lord. Amen? The Lord wants us to be all in. Hot or cold. All in or all out. Not lukewarm. And these disciples knew if they're going to be the church, they had to be all in. All in or end up like Ananias and Sapphira. And so more and more men and women believed in the Lord. And verse 15 says that as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. God's power and healing was so evident that people were coming from all these towns, even outside of Jerusalem, bringing all their sick, lame, and possessed people. They would just set them in the streets. Amen? They would set them in the streets because their faith was so strong, they felt that if Peter's shadow passed over them, they would be healed. That's true faith. Amen? What an amazing faith to have at church, at such an early time in the church. But also kind of strange to think that just a shadow would bring healing, right? Talk about faith. It doesn't exactly say that the shadow of Peter healed them, but it does say that many people were healed. Many people were healed at this time. Because you see, just like the woman who had the issue of bleeding for years believed she would be healed, remember that? Just by touching Jesus' garment, amen? That's the kind of healing, that's the kind of belief we're talking about. These people would be healed as well. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 9:22, it was their faith that healed them. Right? It was their faith that healed them. The power was in the name and the belief in Jesus. And even if we can't explain how someone was healed, we have to remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26. He said, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things. It's about faith in a mighty God. Now the church, even at this time, was not perfect, but it had a lot of believers with pure faith. They had pure faith, and God blesses the purity of a church with power and blessings from above, even today. Amen? He blesses the pure church with power from above. God's word never changes. And we should never change God's word. And that purity will bring the greatest blessing, the blessing of salvation. Because in the end, what matters the most, the ultimate healing for believers. And that ultimate healing actually comes at death. Amen? Comes at death when we go to be with the Father. Now, with God moving in such a dramatic way among these early Christians, we can see there's going to be more trouble coming from the Jewish establishment. There's going to be more trouble coming, and, you know, they would be jealous, right? They would be jealous, they would feel threatened, because Jesus was interrupting their way of life. And in verse 17, it says, the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and they put them in jail. So here we see the enemy would once again rise up. Amen? When the church is doing good, the enemy would rise up. Luke shows us that every time there's an abundance of miracles in the church, there's an opposition that rises in the world. An opposition that rises. Sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
It's just an attack of the devil, okay? So thwart the advancement of the church. We feel it in our own lives as well, amen? Whenever we're starting to do something and accomplish things, the devil tries to get in our path, right? He tries to throw something in front of us to stop us. Happens all the time. As leaders in the church, a lot of times we know that when we're being attacked, it's because we're in the midst of or we're preparing for a victory in the church. Amen? We know that. That's why we continue to pray and we have faith that things are going well in the church. Even when we're being attacked. Especially when we're being attacked, believe it or not. Now today I truly believe that globally we are in a revival of the church. Okay? We're in the revival of the church. Because of that, many people are being martyred and attacked all around the world. Because something great's about to happen. Amen? They're being martyred and attacked all around the world. Just look at the war going on in Israel today. Right? Remember, that is where Christ is going to return. Amen? On the Mount of Olives. Trust me. No, don't trust me. Trust God. That a big victory is just over the horizon. Right? What do we say? Maranatha. Amen?
It could be today.
It could be today. That means Jesus is coming back, for those of you who don't know. All right? Sorry about my attire today. I don't usually dress like this for church, anyway.
What?
Better
fine.
Yeah. Amen.
One more week. Next week, I'll be back to normal, I promise. Or almost. If we don't ever was.
Right. We don't want normal.
All right. So there's a lot of persecution all around the world. Maybe not as much here in the U.S., but we can still pray for those all around the world. Amen? Pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's what's happening here. It says the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. Okay? They were filled with jealousy, and they were going to arrest all the apostles and put them in jail. It says in verse 19 that during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. So the religious leaders were so jealous and determined to stop this preaching that they would go and arrest all the apostles, okay? All of them and put them in jail. Must have been a big sell, like the old horseshoe at 4th Avenue. Not that I would know. But somebody told me about it. I don't know. But then in the middle of the night, amen, God sends an angel. And it's an amazing thing when God sends, when God wants to release us from a jail or from a prison. Amen? It's a beautiful thing, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they knew it was an angel at the time, but they knew it was God. Amen? They knew it was God that was releasing them. So this angel would come, open the gates, and tell the apostles, go stand in the temple and continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the angel didn't tell them, go hide, right? Didn't say, go hide, go lay low for a little while. No, he said, go right back to spreading the word of Christ. And he let them out of jail for a purpose. Amen? He let them out of prison for a purpose. And that purpose was to go preach God's word. He also said, tell the people all about this new life. It's testimony, right? Tell the people all about this new life. He was telling them to go and testify to what the Lord has delivered you from. It's a question for all of us, right? What has God delivered us from? Right? Amen?
Amen.
What has God delivered us from? What purpose has God given you for the advancement of His church and His kingdom? God's got great plans for each of us in His kingdom. Amen? That is the beautiful thing about being involved in recovery ministry, jail ministry, and outreach ministry. So many of our leaders and pastors have been delivered from a sinful life of hurts, habits, and hang-ups, up to and including jail. But God uses all that pain and experience for His good. Some may even go from prison to preacher, right?
Amen.
A lot of my pastor friends have gone from prison to preacher. But the reality is that we are all called to give an account of how God has delivered us from our prisons, okay? Prison doesn't have to necessarily be a prison with bars, amen? Whether that prison is addiction, or anger, or violence, homosexuality, or an actual cage, when we are all freed, we're called to preach His word and give a testimony of what Christ has done in our lives. Amen. Testimony. Come as you are, don't leave as you came. Now, it seemed very easy for God to open these gates, right? For Him to open the gates and release all the apostles. But was it always easy for the apostles? No. Was God always going to save them from persecution? No. I'm not going to go through the whole list. Sometimes God would deliver them and sometimes He wouldn't. The Bible doesn't exactly say how each apostle would die, but we know from trusted theological historians how each of them would be martyred, right? Except for John, of course. They'd try to kill him by boiling him in oil, but he would live. He would die a natural death on the island of Patmos. Now, did these 11 apostles die a martyr's death because God stopped loving them? No. God never stopped loving them. God was with them in every circumstance, just like He is with us. Amen? Who believe. God is with us in every circumstance. If He did not rescue them, He would strengthen them in the midst of their trials.
Amen.
Everything that happens in our lives as believers is for a purpose. Paul was so strengthened spiritually, the Apostle Paul, that he would say, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Powerful words. God wants us to trust Him in the peaks and in the valleys. He is always with us. There are times He will deliver us from our persecutors and our sins, but there are other times when He would rather give us the strength, right, to fight the good fight, to stay in there and fight the good fight. We do not always know why God does things a certain way, but we have to trust His will. We have to trust in His will, and we have to give glory to Him in everything we endeavor until the day of Christ Jesus. Remembering that if and when God sets us free, it's always for a purpose. Okay? For His purpose. His good purpose. Verse 21 says, at daybreak they would enter the temple courts as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors." Maybe sleeping at the doors. Huh? "Standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." So the angel tells them, as he releases them, that they have to go right back to the temple courts and start preaching again. So what do? Unashamed and unafraid, they go to the most public place possible and they begin to preach the word again, right? Most people would have and should have been hesitant to do this because of the persecution that was going to await them. Most people would have had fear, too much fear to go back to the same thing, amen? But the apostles were all in. Without hesitation, they would return and they would start to teach again in the temple courts. And when the officers, upon orders of the Sanhedrin, would go to the jail for the apostles to find that the guards were there and the gates were locked, they would report that when they opened the gates, the apostles were nowhere to be found. Verse 24 says, on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. They're worried about what it's going to lead to. I'm sure they're wondering, what are we going to do, right? The power of God is obviously with these men, but they still proceeded. Then in verse 25, it says, someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail, they're standing in the temple courts teaching the people." And when they heard that, they dropped to their knees and they started praising the Lord. No, that's not what it says, is it? They didn't drop to their knees and praise the Lord. It says they went with his officers and brought the apostles. They arrested them. They didn't use force because they feared that the people were going to stone them. The important thing to see here is that they did not use force, okay? They didn't use force. And it wasn't because they didn't want to, okay? They didn't use force because they feared the people who were siding with the apostles, who were doing many signs and wonders for them. That's why they were being nice, because they feared the people. And the sad part is the fact that they didn't fear God. They feared the people. God could have struck them dead right there on the spot, but they feared the people. Doesn't that sound like the majority of the world today? Who unfortunately have no fear of God or the fear of the consequence of their sin. Hell is a real place, people, and you don't want to go there. So the apostles had the favor of the people at this time. They could have started a riot to try and free themselves from these officers, but they didn't do that. No, they humbled themselves knowing that God was with them. And that they would either be delivered once again or given the strength to endure the persecution. They were all in. They lived in and for the truth. And that's what I want to leave you guys with today. Amen? That no matter what you're going through in your life, when you live in the truth and you trust in God's will, mercy, and grace, there's nothing in the world that we need to fear. Nothing. And when God has and does deliver you from your own prison of sin and darkness, tell the world about it. Amen? Unashamed, tell the world what God has done for you. Tell the world about it. Testify to all that Christ has done in your life. Amen? Because God is good all the time. all the time God is here. Let us pray.